A note from Google. Image PNG. Sociocultural context PNG. Video. 15 examples that show how completely and utterly insane our society has become. 15 examples that show how completely and utterly insane our society has become -YouTube. Entire transcript provided below. Attempted to post and hold this comment. As posted, comment URL is assigned. Web document link, https://www.youtube.com/watch/v=ibn1t-jva0nlc=uglip-vk2rzb1znevd4abag. I took the posted result page, ctrl-s saved in HTML, and attached it here. The comment is posted valid, so why is it missing? It goes away for no good reason of any kind violation. I am hunted across the net because I am a targeted individual. For gang stalking. Take consideration this, should be completely acceptable content for YouTube comment, Tone detector. How this may sound to readers. Handshake confident. Necktie formal. Gang stalking. A criminal systemic program of psychological, informational, and cyber warfare organized under a secretive federal level program intensely. Being a negative activity against our very own citizens is known as targeted individuals of gang stalking. Gang stalking has been logistically and scientifically proven to be a realistic phenomena. See National Institutes of Health, web document link, http://nih.gov, National Institutes of Health, subject, search gang stalking. What we have here remains unmentioned and unaddressed by our greater order of law enforcement. The lack to enforce the natural order, law by a power corrupt in the topmost national scope focused down to local city police force of policing policy is at the heart of the danger that we must exterminate out of their pretending law officials' role. Holding this pretending role has an ever-compounding cumulative effect. Day by day inverts the sustained peace into a choice for war. When war becomes the choice, it must be a shoot first and ask questions later to remove every person, man or woman, in false positions of law enforcing actions. These are false official roles when only in pretense is that person effectively honoring the public sworn oath of duty. The status we have encapsulated ourselves into treachery, treach, or why, noun, treachery, plural noun, treacherous, betrayal of trust, deceptive action or nature. His resignation was perceived as an act of treachery, similar, betrayal, disloyalty, perfidy, perfidiousness, faithlessness, unfaithfulness, infidelity, bad faith, breach of trust, duplicity, deceit, deceitfulness, deception, false-heartedness, falseness, stab in the back, backstabbing, double-dealing, untrustworthiness, treason, two-timing, pure Nick faith, opposite, loyalty, faithfulness. Just look to the usage over time chart, empower the definition and mass collision knowledge. Image PNG. The level of order of offense and punishment must be understood and taken into immediate consideration to expel those who are in powers that they are abusing and not performing with authentic representations to the law. As such, they are providing a night and comfort to the enemy of the United States of America. Just like if we were being invaded by a foreign power entering our homeland from the coastal waters, each and every citizen, man, woman, or child, has the right to defend this nation against its enemies. In one way, it is up to law enforcement to deal with the actual engaged insurrection of the policing force working to the destruction of our nation. But it is not so easy when the term of this insurrection has been long time accounted for being more than 50 years of police hate gangs. Therefore, the law allows and calls up to the protection of our nation upon each and every American to terminate those who they are just in pretense but not in solidarity with their pledge to our country. They deserve to be immediately terminated, blood spilling, terminated out of the false holding powers. Web document link, https://www.justice.gov/crit/deprivation-rights-under-color-law. Deprivation of rights under color of law summary. ARI, section 242 of Title 18 makes it a crime for a person acting under color of any law to willfully deprive a person of a right or privilege protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. For the purpose of section 242, Acts under color of law include acts not only done by federal, state, or local officials within their lawful authority, but also acts done beyond the bounds of that official's lawful authority. If the acts are done while the official is purporting to or pretending to act in the performance of his/her official duties, persons acting under color of law within the meaning of this statute include police officers, prisons guards and other law enforcement officials, as well as judges, care providers in public health facilities, and others who are acting as public officials. It is not necessary that the crime be motivated by animus toward the race, color, religion, sex, handicap, familial status or national origin of the victim. The offense is punishable by a range of imprisonment up to a life term, or the death penalty, depending upon the circumstances of the crime, and the resulting injury, if any. Title 18, U.S.C., Section 242. Whoever, under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom, willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year, or both. And if bodily injury results from the acts committed in violation of this section or if such acts include the use, attempted use, or threatened use of a dangerous weapon, explosives, or fire, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years, or both. And if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, shall be fined under this title, or imprisoned for any term of years or for life, or both, or may be sentenced to death. Comma, end of YouTube comment, dash. I have a couple of other points now. If what was just said, a force of gang stalking is prevalent in our society, and the political investment in the infrastructure, as a power force involved in a policy policing across our entire nation, which at IS, web document link, https://www.truders.com/legal/government/prevalence/white-supremacist/law-enforcement-demands-drastic-change-2022-05-12/img/backslash/May 12, 2022 11:41 a.m. PDT last updated 2 months ago. Prevalence of white supremacists in law enforcement demands drastic change. By Hassan Kanyu. Reuters/Fred Grieve. Law Review article. Research. Reuters-A Reuters investigation on May 6 indicates that a significant number of U.S. police instructors have ties to a constellation of armed right-wing militias and white supremacist hate groups, a report that adds to a fast-growing body of evidence showing a deadly threat inside U.S. police departments. The analysis found that some of the instructional information presented by police trainers was explicitly racist, and that some instructors endorsed and interacted with white supremacist criminal groups such as the Proud Boys. The investigation adds to mounting academic research, government audits and news reporting that demonstrates the pervasiveness of white supremacy in U.S. law enforcement, and a continuing series of incidents documenting the presence of extremist groups and views among law enforcement. More and more, the evidence suggests the white supremacist infiltration of law enforcement that the FBI warned about back in 2006 is getting worse, and it points to a desperate need for policies, departmental and legislative, to prohibit people who engage in racist conduct or join white supremacist groups from becoming police officers or remaining on the force. Comma, dash, end of Reuters article, prevalence of white supremacists in law enforcement demands drastic change. Right now, answer this question, answer it, write it here in the line below. What is the goal of these persons who are involved in the acts and agency of insurrection to include of course January 6, 2021? Answer. Put the answer from your best perspectives, the scroll down. Would this quote and closing be that same answer? The entire thing comes crashing down on top of all of us. Of course it is the answer. Now, are you listening to me? If that was the ultimate goal of those persons who have political power, dash, do you think their priorities would be investment in infrastructure? 10. While our government spends trillions to prop up financial markets and fund unnecessary projects, our crumbling infrastructure continues to threaten the lives of us citizens all across the country. The American Road and Transportation Builders Association has found that nearly 10 of all bridges in the U.S. 55, 710 bridges in all are structurally deficient and in need of repair or replacement in our ports, levees, roads, schools, energy plants, waste treatment plants, and other necessary types of infrastructure are also struggling, leading the American Society of Civil Engineers to award the overall infrastructure of the United States not in a B, C, no, we get a D grade. Fixing the nation's failing road infrastructure would cost $2 trillion over 10 years, according to a 2019 estimate. The lack of interest, or the deficient investment in this important element of society maintenance, bring the awareness of the embedded influence of the overall goal of the powers and the political might below it. We are in more hot water than you think, because we still find ourselves sliding down the scale of social unrest and erosion of trust. What can be done? First off, gang stalking is a symptom of a problem that is actively attacking our citizens. I happen to be one of them. Force the topic and subject out into the debate of everything you say. Therefore, you might want to put into the categories of this that are indeed insane to continue. That is why I am commenting this to you. My suggestion that we actually become agents of defense directly upon our country. We know we can become whatever this is. So we can intake the need to be able to do some research and regard those who are captured into your local police, dash in what is happening. If you find there is a challenge or lack of need to enforce the laws of the United States in all that can be seen, I would suggest that you attempt to find some allies in the view that whomever might act, they have to gather the evidence for it. Then act dash then be able to bring that evidence after, it is dangerous, and those who strike out to terminate these persons who have false captured our country and its inability to maintain the laws of nature for peace, would be very dangerous, and I would say it be very courageous of them to seek such action. I say only go for it when there has been enough support for this act, to have 5 more people ready to follow behind them, should they not be successful. That is about all I have to say to the comment on your video. For what is already known, the goal for them is, it can be entertaining to watch for a little while, it won't be too long before the entire thing comes crashing down on top of all of us. The statement you have made is crystal ball predictor to bomb. That is an enviable state of our affairs, dash with insurrection already bearing forward their goals. What laws apply then? Here's how Hobbes defines a law of nature, a precept or general rule, found out by reason, by which a man is forbidden to do that which is destructive of his life, or taketh away the means of preserving the same, and to omit that, by which he thinketh it may be best preserved. Chapter 14, Sect. 3, page 79, November 1, 2013. What the heck are the laws of nature for Hobbes? Dash UBC Blogs web document link, https://blogsubc.kochendrix2013/11/01. What dash the worst outcome is being prey. What the heck are the laws of nature for Hobbes? Destruction of Leviathan, engraving by Gustave Dore, 1865, in the public domain, accessed from Wikimedia Commons. No, I don't mean which laws of nature does he list as easy. The first two, in chapter 14, state, 1. Everyone should endeavor peace when it is possible to attain, if not, we can engage in war. 2. We should be willing to transfer our natural right to all things in the state of nature to a sovereign power, when others are willing to do so too, for the sake of peace and defense of our security. Then there are 17 more in chapter 15, saying things such as, we should keep our covenants, so long as there is a common power to enforce them, we should pardon past offenses by those who repent of them, acknowledge equality of persons, treat people impartially when judging disputes, and more. My question is, what sort of things are these laws? What does it mean to say they are laws of nature? Different ways of thinking about what laws are. One way to think about laws of nature is to imagine them like physical laws, like the laws of motion. If Hobbes' laws of nature were like this, then it would seem they would describe how people just naturally act. They would be laws in the sense of descriptions of universal regularities of human action. But it's pretty clear that Hobbes' laws of nature are not simply descriptions of how humans always or usually act. What comes closer to that sort of thing are statements he says about our common desires and aversions, as discussed on Monday. Things like desire for power, one's present means to obtain some future apparent good, chapter 1, sect. 1. Page 50, or fear of death. Another way of thinking of laws is as rules created by an authority, such as a governmental authority, civil laws, or the commandments of God. Are the laws of nature laws in that sense? Turns out Hobbes says yes, that we can think of them as delivered in the word of God, that by right commandeth all things, chapter 15, sect. 41, page 100. So then, All these things we should do would be commandments given to us by God, general rules, found out by reason. But Hobbes actually talks about laws of nature in quite a different way than this, most of the time. In his lecture on Hobbes, Robert Crawford pointed out that there is a difference between thinking of natural law, which can be considered as a commandment by God, and laws of nature, the latter being instead precepts determined by reason. From my notes on the lecture, here's how Hobbes defines a law of nature: a precept or general rule, found out by reason, by which a man is forbidden to do that which is destructive of his life, or taketh away the means of preserving the same, and to omit that, by which he thinketh it may be best preserved. Chapter 14, Sect. 3, page 79. So here, it sounds like we can use our reason to determine that we ought to do whatever we can to preserve ourselves. But that doesn't sound all that different from thinking of laws of nature as what we naturally tend to do, because, as noted above, we already do tend to naturally seek to preserve ourselves. So what gives? Articles of peace that protect people in multitudes. Hobbes also calls the laws of nature articles of peace, suggested by reason, by which people can live together well in groups without falling into a state of war. Chapter 13, Sect. 14, page 78. These are the laws of nature dictating peace for a means of conservation of men in multitudes. Chapter 15, Sect. 34, page 99. Here is where things start to get clearer for me. For Hobbes, people naturally tend to seek their own preservation and the power to be able to attain that which they consider good, but when we live together with others, or even near them, our natural desires and aversions lead us into conflict, the state of war. We don't naturally and automatically coordinate our efforts so as to achieve the best outcome for all of us. Hobbes says that we are not like bees or ants, who can live sociably together naturally. Chapter 17, Sect. 6, page 108. We need to use our reason to determine what rules we should follow to make living with others in groups something that conduces to our own individual desires for self-preservation and the means to fulfill our desires now and in the future. So, for example, reason can tell us that the laws of nature numbers 2-19 should be followed in order to promote peaceful living in groups. The first law of nature is something we can determine by reason too. If we live in a group with others, what would really be best for us is to seek peace, because that's going to allow us to achieve our natural desires best. But if it's not possible, do the next best thing, whatever you need to survive and defend what you have, namely war. Best and worst outcomes. I had this on the Burden seminar today, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it. This is meant to show that in a state of nature, even if we want to try to work together with others, come together in social groups to cooperate rather than engage in conflict and war, it doesn't actually make rational sense to do so. We can try to work together in groups by coming up with rules that we should all follow, but it only makes sense to follow such rules if we can be reasonably assured others will too. That would be the state of peace. That, for Hobbes, is the best outcome. The worst outcome is being prey when I follow rules and most others don't. He that should be modest and tractable, and perform all he promises, in such a time and place where no man else should do so, should but make himself a prey to others, and procure his own certain ruin, contrary to the ground of all laws of nature, which tend to nature's preservation. Chapter 15, Sect. 36, page 99. In this quote, Hobbes is saying it's stupid to follow the laws of nature when there is no assurance that others will too. 15 examples that show how completely and utterly insane our society has become. 15 examples that show how completely and utterly insane our society has become. YouTube. Transcript. Music. Lately watching the news is almost the same as watching a horror show. You never know what you're gonna see each day, but it's almost certain that it's going to be something crazy. The things we're about to share with you in today's video may be weird. Some can make you laugh and others are simply infuriating, but they all point to the same conclusion from the very top to the very bottom. America is going insane. We have truly become a brainless society, and while our country goes from bad to worse, most people remain unaware of our true problems. That's why we have gathered some simple but revealing examples of just how nonsensical things have become in our country. But before checking this unusual list, please give us your support by leaving a thumbs up and subscribing to our channel. Without further ado, here are 15 examples that show how completely and utterly insane our society has become. 1. American children's quality of life is steadily decaying. When analyzing the level of literacy, access to healthcare, science and technology education amongst children between the ages Of 6 and 18, the United States ranks number 24 in a list of 26 developed nations tracked by the OECD. In fact, 1 in every 6 children in America is likely to live in a household facing financial problems, according to the national parenting organization Parents Together. 2 among developed nations with complete reliable statistics, the US has the highest teen pregnancy rate of them all, according to a recent report from the Guttmacher Institute. For every 1,000 teenage girls between 15 and 19 years old, 57 are pregnant at any given time in America. In England and Wales, for example, that number is about 20% lower. In Switzerland, only 8 girls per 1,000 are pregnant. 3. A new study of American teenagers and their reading habits finds that a third haven't read a book in hard copy or on the device like a Kindle in the past year. In the early 1990s, a third of 10th graders read the daily newspaper. That number had dropped to just 2% by 2020. What's more, back in the late 1970s, 60% of 12th graders read a book or read a magazine almost daily, but just 16% had the same reading habits in 2020. In contrast, a separate survey found that 45 of us teenagers are online almost constantly. 4. 1 in 8 families in America is hungry. That's 21.2% of all U.S. households, when including what economists call the working poor, who earn about $25,000 a year. For a family of 4, according to Oxfam America, more than 51.9 million Americans are working but living in poverty and anxiety. Out of the estimated $2,017 there in a month families need to pay for housing, utilities, childcare, transportation, healthcare, and groceries, the firm also found that 60% of households led by older Americans must choose between buying groceries or paying utility bills, and that 15% of people in rural areas are hungry due to the lack of access to grocery stores or transportation. 5. In contrast, even as our domestic food production continues to decline every year, 40 of the country's food supply goes to waste. On average, Americans waste approximately 1.4 billion tons of food in a given year. This means that each year we throw away about $161 billion worth of food, $1,500 worth per person. 6. At the same time, the US is the most overweight country on earth, although that isn't exactly new information for many of us. When compared to the rest of the world, we can understand how bad this really is. Worldwide, 38 of men and 36.9% of women worldwide are either overweight or obese. In America, 71 of men and 62% of women fall into that category. Another study of US men and women published in the journal JAMA Internal Medicine found that nearly 40% of men and nearly 30% of women were overweight, with body mass indexes between 25 and 29 worldwide. Only 13 of the planet's population is overweight. 7. According to a study commissioned by LG Electronics, the average American will watch over 780 hours of television over the course of a lifetime on a day-to-day basis. The average American adult watches TV for 3.5 hours, amounting to 1,248 hours each year. On that note, the average adult will spend 2,943 hours of their life just deciding what to watch. The fact that we are endlessly watching so much television could help to explain why our society has become so dumbed down. 8. The vast majority of Americans are up to their necks in debt. Over the past 50 years, we have become addicted to credit cards. For some, that is a simple way of life. According to an experienced study, the average American carries $92,727 in consumer debt. That's a huge number for most of us, and when we add it up, it reveals just how gigantic our debt load really is. When you take that average and factor in the population and demographic information, the nation as a whole owes over $16 trillion in all forms of consumer debt. That number includes credit card debt, which has an average interest rate of 16.17%. In other words, Americans are drowning in debt, and the problem is only getting worse. 9. If you have $10 and no debt, you are richer than 15% of all American households. Federal Reserve data reveals that 15.1% of the households in the U.S. population have a net wealth less than or equal to zero, while 14% have strictly negative wealth. Moreover, 69% of Americans have less than $1,000 in savings, while another 45% of Americans say they have $0 in savings. But can Americans be forgiven for thinking debt doesn't matter? Apparently, after all, it doesn't matter to the U.S. government. Our current national debt stands at $30.5 trillion. 10. While our government spends trillions to prop up financial markets and fund unnecessary projects, our crumbling infrastructure continues to threaten the lives of us citizens all across the country. The American Road and Transportation Builders Association has found that nearly 10 of all bridges in the U.S. 55,710 bridges in All are structurally deficient and in need of repair or replacement in our ports, levees, roads, schools, energy plants, waste treatment plants, and other necessary types of infrastructure are also struggling, leading the American Society of Civil Engineers to award the overall infrastructure of the United States not in a BC, no, we get a D grade fixing. The nation's failing road infrastructure would cost $2 trillion over 10 years, according to a 2019 estimate released by Fortune, a modest amount considering we pay almost $500 billion just in interest on the national debt every year. 11. In America, the poor population experiences the most extreme disparities than elsewhere in comparing poverty in the United States to the other 25 developed nations tracked by OECD. American poverty is both more prevalent and more severe. The U.S. has the highest rate of poverty of any other developed country, according to the OECD measure. In short, when analyzing poverty is the number of persons who fall below 50% of a country's median income. The overall U.S. rate stands at 17.8%, while the average of the other 25 countries is below 10. The distance between the poor's average income and the poverty line is nearly 40% in America. 12. The United States is the developed nation with the highest rate of homeless people. Advocates say that official numbers only show a fraction of the problem on a given night. Approximately 1.5 million people sleep on the streets in America. So if the United States is the wealthiest nation in the world, why are so many people homeless? The answer isn't simple. When there's a clear disparity between the wealthiest people and those at the very bottom of the economic food chain, the states with the most homeless people are California, New York, Florida, Washington, Oregon, and Texas. Ironically, those are also the states where the wealthiest people in the country live. And 13. America also has the largest prison population in the entire world, even though that's a widely known fact. Most people have no idea of how terrible this really is when compared to other countries. 4. Instance, we have 724 people in prison for every 100,000 U.S. citizens. In China, they have only 118 people in prison out of 100,000. According to the International Center for Prison Studies, the country currently has more than 2.2 million people behind bars. That represents nearly 22% of the total global population of inmates, which is extremely shocking when considering that the U.S. supports just 4.4% of the world's population. On top of that, the jail occupancy rate in the U.S. is at 107.6%, meaning they're overcrowded and insufficient to house what nearly amounts to the population of Slovenia. 14. America's freedom of the press and freedom of speech aren't as real as we think. In the United States Constitution, freedom of speech and freedom of the press are core principles of American liberty. Both have been codified into law via the First Amendment, which guarantees the right to freely say and report their views on the government, whether those views are positive or negative. That's the pillar of a free and just society. However, those freedoms have been disappearing over the past decades. Once considered a model for press freedom and free speech, the U.S. ranking on the World Press Freedom Index has sharply dropped from 24th to 42nd out of 180 nations in the past 20 years, as press freedom violations continue to increase at a troubling rate. According to a study conducted by Reporters Without Borders, there are unprecedented levels of distrust in the American media. The disinformation affecting American society has created an atmosphere where citizens no longer know who to trust. Online harassment, particularly towards women and minorities, is also a serious issue for journalists and can impact their quality of life and safety. Ranking fell to the point on the scale where it describes the treatment of journalists as being problematic. In recent years, journalists have had to work in dangerous conditions and have faced an unprecedented climate of animosity and aggression during protests where unprovoked attacks occurred on clearly identified reporters. There is a troubling trend of journalists experiencing harassment and intimidation in the field. A study adds in 15, maybe the reason why we are so oblivious about all of this is because at least half of Americans don't even know all First Amendment freedoms. A stunning survey published by the Economic Policy Institute found that 3/4 of Americans don't even know how many amendments make up the Bill of Rights. In fact, 1 in 5 people wasn't even familiar with the Bill of Rights when asked. A perfect example of how ignorant our society has become. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how bad things have gotten in the United States. Our society has been turned upside down and our nation has become a giant grotesque circus, and though it can be entertaining to watch for a little while, it won't be too long before the entire thing comes crashing down on top of all of us. Thank you very much for watching. We look forward to your comments under this video, and please subscribe to our channel and hit the notification bell so you don't miss future bulletins.